understand you can't listen to all 4 hours of the show. That's why we have Scheman and Shepherd on demand. Download us whenever at 993ESPN.com or on iTunes. This is Scheman and Shepherd on 993 ESPN.
Once again, Rick Church on the other side of the glass, just so perfectly picking the music
Great
as
stuff.
We literally got hit by bolts, and I
oh
say bolts,
God.
Of lightning moments ago.
That was close.
Scheman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Well, I feel bad. We just had Jeff Nixon in studio talking golf, and then we sent him along his merry way with lightning bolts coming down in the parking lot. I hope he's okay.
Crazy.
Woo! That one, I've felt some shakes and some close hits.
That was pretty big. That was
I was going to say, I felt the hair on my arms stand up a little bit on that one.
That rocked the building a little
you
bit.
You could feel it.
But we're still on the air, ladies and gentlemen. A 50,000-watt flamethrower signal, 99.3 ESPN. Oh. All right. Let's have some fun. Well, we've been having fun. With the British Open starting tomorrow. By the way, I think I saw Tiger Woods tease off at 10:10 a.m. Mm-hmm. our time. So he'll probably be just finishing while we are on the airwaves tomorrow. We have to go, and we invite all of you to do this as well. Go to our website at 993ESPN.com. This is Scheman and Shepherd Fantasy Golf Game. You can do it, but you got to do it before like midnight tonight. All right, you can't like get up Thursday morning and pick your fantasy golfers because it's going to be too late. This tournament over there across the pond, they're like 6 hours ahead of us. They're going to be rolling. So, Pete Shepherd, are you ready? Have you pulled up your account?
I am ready.
As for those that don't know, in fact, you have exactly 10 hours from Mark. That's what it says here on the thing, on mm-hmm. the website. So there are 9 groups of golfers of, 6 golfers each group. You get to pick one of the 6 in each group, and that's your fantasy team. And whoever has the best one will be a winner of a $100 gift card from Sunshine Ace Hardware. And I should let people know, because we get calls from this sometimes. People will call in on, like, Monday and say, hey, I won. Where's my prize? It takes, like, 2 weeks to get your prizes from this because we wait a week to make sure everything's official. I know the PGA waits a week before they make it. Now, this mm-hmm. is not a PGA event. This is the British Open.
Yeah.
Maybe they do it differently. But we wait to make sure everything's official. And then you can get your gift card. All right, here we go. Group number 1 includes Bryson DeChambeau, Dustin Johnson, Brooks Koepka, homeboy Rory McIlroy, Justin Rose, and Tiger Woods. And I think like 4 of these 5-6 guys can win this thing. This is a tough selection here.
Well, that's why they're grouped that way. You can't put like a good golfer and a bad golfer. Everyone will pick the good golfer.
Well, absolutely.
It would help my cause dramatically if it were different.
You got to go with Brooks Koepka here. You have to. It'd be great for Rory if they're in the final group together, but you got to go with Brooks Koepka. Brooks Koepka.
All right. I'm not going with Brooks Koepka. I'm not going with Rory McIlroy because I think he'll cave under the hometown pressure. I am going to go with Justin Rose, who I think is also playing some of the best golf of his career right now. So mark me down for him, just to be a bit of a contrarian. How's that? All right, group number
nuts.
2. How am I nuts? You think Justin Rose is a nuts pick?
Last he shot a 73 at the U.S. Open.
That was in the
Ball
U.S. Open.
Ball striking numbers have dropped since the start of the season. He sits at 159th in driving accuracy and 152nd in greens regulation.
So, your point?
Well, you can get away with that on this course.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. All right, golf group number 2. Mm-hmm. Patrick Cantlay, your boy Francisco Molinari. You seem to like him.
I do.
John Rahm. John swears a lot, right? He gets mad. Temper. Xander Schauffele, Justin Thomas, and U.S. Open champion Gary Woodland, who has a pregnant wife at home on bed rest. Who are you picking out of that group?
Well, I am going once again with Francesco Molinari. He is the defending Open champion, and that's enough for me. Plus, he's Italian, and I like him a lot. He's a good guy. He's playing good golf, and I think he'll be he will be an absolute threat. He has not posted a single top 15 result since the Masters, however, tying for 57th most recently at the Travelers Championship. But he will break out of his shell, and he will compete.
I am not Italian, but I am many things. However, I also am a big fan of Molinari. I'm going to go with him. I like how he's playing golf the mm-hmm. past couple of years. It's very impressive. All right, group number three.
I wouldn't mind grouper right
grouper
now.
Grouper sounds good right now.
Yeah, it does.
Paul Casey, Jason Day, Tony Finau, Ricky Fowler, Matt Kuchar, and Adam Scott. Interesting group here. Pete Shepard, which way will you go?
Well, he had an even par 71 on Sunday a couple weeks ago at the 3M Open to finish 5 under. He tied for 66th. Here's the thing with him. After leading the Travelers Championship in greens in the regulation percentage during his previous start, he had a 83.3% of the greens in regulation during the 3M Open last time he played.
Who are we talking about here?
We're talking about Jason
okay.
Day.
Yeah.
And that's who I am going with. It's a tough group right here. I'm going with Adam Scott. I'm going with Jason Day.
I was leaning Jason Day, but since you picked him, I'm not gonna. Ricky Fowler, until he does it, he's not going to do it. I do like Tony Finau. Adam Scott comes down to the putter again. He putted pretty well, didn't he, in the U.S. Open? You know what? I'm going to take Adam Scott. I'm going to take a flyer on Adam Scott that he gets his act together here. And I'm going to pick him in group number three.
By the way, guys, I just got a text from Jeff Nixon. He said, I'm fine. Thought I died, but I am good. That was close.
He was getting in his car door.
He said that was
that
close.
Yes.
So he's good.
Good. I'm glad.
God
thanks,
bless
Jeff.
You. Oh, we were thinking. That's the first person
the whole
I was thinking
the whole building shook.
It timed out just about the time he left the studio. And just boom. Mm. All right. Thank you for that update. Group number four mm-hmm. in our Sheeman and Shepherd Fantasy Golf Outing, which you can do this too. Go to our website at 993ESPN.com. Tommy Fleetwood, Mark Leishman, Louis Oosthuizen, who has won a British Open before, Webb Simpson, Matt Wallace, and Bubba Watson.
Well, the pick here for me is Louis Oosthuizen, I'll give you my reasons. Weeb Simpson was another one. Webb Simpson was another one. But he's recorded 3 scores 68 or better throughout the last time he played in Connecticut. He did shoot a 74 on the final day that cost him. But the South African has managed to rank top 20 in greens and regulation percentage and putts per greens and regulation recently. So that's good enough for me. Louis Oosthuizen.
All right. I'm going between Oosthuizen and Tommy Fleetwood. Maybe
because you always go Fleetwood.
I have.
I think it's because of Fleetwood Mac, personally.
I do like Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah.
But I think I am going with Louis Oosthuizen as well because he's proven he's done it before. He's won this before. I mean, not at this course, but mm-hmm. anyway, I'll go with him as well. Group number five, Keegan Bradley, Kevin Kisner, Hideki Matsuyama, Phil Mickelson, Shezrivi, and Patrick Reed. Patrick Reed, who played a practice round with El Tigre Eldrick the other day. Who are you picking out of this bunch?
I'm going with Keegan Bradley.
Dang it, I wanted to pick him. All right, go ahead.
Up and down year for him. He finished second at the Travelers Championship in Connecticut. Barely cracked the top 50 at the 3M Open, finishing 46. His best result in an Open Championship came back 6 years ago, Craig.
Yeah.
With Bradley finishing tied for 15th. And while numbers don't suggest he'll be in tough to contend for the right to hoist the trophy, Bradley has always thrived as an underdog. That's exactly what he'll be at Royal Portrush this week. All consider right. him a trendy underdog. Boom!
He was so trendy, I was thinking about picking him, but now I'm not. Let me go with Hideki Matsuyama. All right, group number six, Matthew Fitzpatrick, Sergio Garcia, the human rain delay, Shane Lowry, Kevin Na, Ed Pepperell, and Jordan Spieth. I don't know who you pick on this group.
I'm picking Jordan Spieth.
We're rooting for Jordan Spieth. Do we really think he's going to win this thing?
Well, this is group six. I'm picking Jordan Spieth.
All right, me too. I'm going Jordan Spieth as
well. You're picking everybody I pick.
That's the only... I have gone out of my way to not pick who you've picked, except now I'm swinging back the other way. Golfer group number seven, Rafa Cabrera-Bello, Billy Horschel, Ho-Tong Lee, Ian Poulter, Cameron Smith, and Henrik Stenson. I'm going with Stenson right now.
I'm going with Ian Poulter.
All right, there you go. Group number eight, Lucas Beauregard, Jim Furyk, Tyrell Hatton, Charles Howell III, Alex Noren, and Brent Snedeker. What do you like in that group?
We need to check this, Rick, if you can. My understanding was Charles Howell III wasn't going to play in this tournament.
Why?
Because he will rest up with the hope and the breaks age has climbed to the FedEx Cup standings. He's 40. He failed to make the cut at the Open Championship both of the past 2 years.
He's laying low.
Brian Harman was added to the field at Royal Portbush in Howell's stead.
Oh.
So I don't think he's in it.
Then don't pick him.
I can't pick him now. I just realized that. I don't think Charles Howell III is in it. He's not.
Charles Howell III has withdrawn from the 2019 British Open.
Scratch him off if you are going to the Scheman and Shepherd Fantasy Golf page on the 99.3 ESPN.com website.
Pays to do your research, kids.
Yeah, that's what I'm going. That's why I'm here.
Lucas Beauregard, because I like saying his name. There.
I'll go with Brant Snedeker.
Also a fun name to say.
Now, it does say he was replaced by Brian Harman. So I wonder if maybe we would just, you know.
Brian Harman did not make our list of
choices.
But
I'm saying maybe if you pick him, I don't know.
Right. Well, we can't pick him because he's not has to have a picture here or a box to check and the powers that be. You just have to go with somebody else.
All right, group number nine.
But there will be people that will pick him.
This is our final group.
Yes.
Byung-Hung Ahn. The guy, the chubby fellow, I can't ever say his name. Affy Barnrat.
I love him.
How do you say his first name?
Karadik.
Karadik. I'm asking you. Yeah.
Karadik.
Okay. So I'm asking you how to pronounce the name. You know, I'm going with him.
That's my guy.
Emiliano Grillo, J.B. Holmes, Kyle Stanley, and Danny Willett, everybody. You going with the fat guy?
I'm going with the fluffy guy, Affan Barnrat, because he hit over 75% of his fairways in regulation throughout his last tournament, be it was at Mirfield, and he remains inside the top 50 in the official world golf ranking. He'll make his next start, as we talked about. I mean, at the U.S. Open, he played okay, if I remember correctly, but I'm going with him. He's a gamer. Something about him I really like. I'm going with Affy Barnrat to hang in there.
All right, everybody. It's that simple. Just go to our website, 99.3ESPN.com. It's the Scheman and Shepherd Fantasy Golf Game. Log yourself on, pick your nine golfers, and whichever one of you listening right now has the best set of golfers from Fantasy Golf on when this tournament's over on Sunday, you'll win a $100 gift card from Sunshine Ace Hardware. How about that? All right. Also, I want to give thanks to everybody that showed up at our golf outing.
Tommy Fleetwood was on one of the lists. Yes, we just didn't pick him. You can pick him. He's on the list. He's there.
I meant to say I want to thank everybody that came out to our poker night last night at the Naples-Fort Myers Greyhound Track. We do that on the third Tuesday every month. My man Steve knocked me out, got a $100 bounty the second consecutive month. 2 months in a row he's gotten me.
And then Rick from Fort Myers got me.
I'm paying his bills now.
Queen Jack suited beat my Big Slicks suited, which is Ace King. Got me on the river.
I had a very aggressive, aggressive table. You know, they smell blood when they're going for that bounty.
Yeah, no, I don't blame my guy for calling me for the bounty. Absolutely. No. But Tommy Fleetwood, by the way, again, is in the fourth group with Mark Leishman, Luis Oosthuizen,
Webb Simpson,
Matt Wallace, and Bubba Watson. But we just didn't pick him.
Speaking of fun online and social media, where did we send this out earlier? Before we did the show today, we did that app that everybody's doing across America, making yourself look old. It projects what you will look like when you're old. That is on our Facebook thing, I think. I did not look good. Pete actually got younger somehow. That's all I'm thinking. Did we tweeted that out? We put that on Facebook, right?
Yeah, so put it on Facebook. And let's see, did I want to say.
And Chris, who's all of 27, now looks 28. I mean, he didn't age at all.
Yeah, it looks great.
No, he does. I don't.
No, Chris has been it's been compared to Megan Rapinoe. This is fantastic. We got a ton of views for it today. That was you on delay.
I just heard a delay signal in my headphones.
I apologize. Somebody said we're off the air, so I was just checking. I forgot that was in your headphones. Sorry about that.
I guess we're back
just
on.
Just making sure we're on.
How long were we off?
How long have I been out? No, we were off that massive lightning.
Wow. Well, better not be. I wouldn't brag to how big our signal was.
So a lot of people are commenting.
So I have a question. So people on a normal day say Chris looks like
Ellen DeGeneres.
And now they say as he ages, he looks more like Megan Rapinoe. I'll just leave that out there. Y'all can make your own.
So they have a regular Sheeman Shepherd with Chris up there, you know, at weekdays 2 to 6. A very handsome a group, I might say. Very good.
Yeah.
We all have fine hues. Mine is a bit darker than yours and Chris's. But then they have it really is hideous to look at.
It's rough. I'm upset.
Chris looks like man. If Chris had purple and his blue in his hair, he'd look like Megan Rapinoe.
Wow. I don't want to be a narcissist or anything, but I care about how I look, and I think I aged the poorest of the three of us.
I don't think so. I think I did. What I am happy about is you and I both have hair still.
Yeah, that's good.
A very seasoned gray.
Yeah. Yeah, it's that's a scary looking app. I'm gonna have to.
I look like a shrunken applehead. Remember those?
Yes.
Which I never understood why you would buy those or why they were fun.
Because you carve a face in them, and then
it's a
then
rotten
they get all
apple.
Wrinkly.
And
the
fruit flies would come, and it's gross.
All right, people. Chainsmoker says we're only down for about 10 to 20 seconds. Gasbag says 20 seconds. Eric says Chris does look like a female Ellen. Just random. Yes, he does. It's unbelievable. Who is this on the SEC network holding a Chucky doll at his press conference?
Kid from Arkansas.
Why the Chucky doll? That's bizarre to me. Very crazy. It's on the Feinbaum show. Fanny?
Andrew Wojnarowski has some news here.
Breaking
news! No, hang on.
All right. Relax, Rick.
Oklahoma City's discussions to move 9-time All-Star guard Chris Paul onto a new destination are parked, and an increasing expectation exists that he will start the season with the Thunder. OKC has been working with Paul and his reps on finding a trade, but nothing is materializing so deep into summer free agency. That's according to Woj's sources. Both sides believe there are benefits to Paul, who's 34, playing out the year with the Thunder.
What a disaster. Here's the deal. All sides want him to go to Miami, but...
Or somewhere.
Miami and the Thunder have had previous trade deals where the Thunder have Miami's... Let me think about this. No, Miami has the Thunder's pick. The Thunder want them back or something like that.
Thunder have a bunch of picks. But
what this comes down to, 3 years from now, you're going to have 37-year-old Chris Paul make $44 million. Nobody wants to eat that. He's untradeable. Except he was just traded.
Well, that's just it. He's supposed to get about $40 million. And the Heat do not want to part with Bam Adebayo and Tyler Herro. They don't want to part with those two. And it looks like Pat Riley is staying true to form here, at least for now.
Yeah.
No one's saying Chris Paul and Jimmy Butler together is any going to be any slice of heaven. That would be, I think, from a talk show standpoint, it'd be a lot of fun to watch.
As ridiculous as James Harden and Russell Westbrook.
Oh, wait a minute,
that's happening.
Friendships never, you know, there's never a falling out between basketball players who are great friends and then play on the same team and both ball hogs.
No, exactly. All right.
Never.
All right, let's regroup. We're still on the air. We got lightning bolts all over the place. It's insane. We've got our golf picks in. If you're just getting out of work, I want to revisit what we started the show talking about. Nick Saban had some interesting comments where he kind of threw some people on his staff under the bus for doing something that he did when he was the coach of the Dolphins, for crying out loud. We'll revisit that when we come back. It's Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Radio Tinder.
I bet you'd swipe right on this show. This is Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Sheeman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Cisco Kid.
It's the 70s, right?
Oh, what, 76, I think? I had absolutely. This, I believe this was on my Power on KTEL album. I had all that stuff. That's
On A-Track.
No, album. No, Power On, I think. KTEL had a bunch of those albums that had 10 or 12 songs on them.
This is a good song. See, Chris would never pull this one
Hot off. Chocolate, I think, was song number 10, You Sexy Thing,
Is that politically correct to say today?
Yeah, that's the name of the song. It's not talking about a drink.
Hot Chocolate.
Hot Chocolate. You Sexy Thing, Sexy Thing. You can actually play that coming into a break.
Yeah?
Yeah. You know the song, right?
I do.
What do you mean it's politically correct? You're sexy. It could be a man and woman. I mean, it's a sexy thing. I mean,
the hot chocolate.
I'm sexy. People don't understand it, but I am.
All right, on that note, let me do a hard pivot.
I'm funny.
So earlier today, the SEC network, or the SEC kickoff / media days, winding down while the ACC now, or I keep saying ACC, while the ACC kicked off their media days.
It's like Howard Stern.
But they got no network.
So you see, when he was first radio job from
WNBC.
WNBC.
Exactly.
No, say it like Amos does.
WNBC.
What a great movie.
That was a great movie.
Great acting, too. Fact. Paul Giamatti, hysterical. Pig vomit.
So here's the deal. Nick Saban spoke today, and when he was doing his press conference Q&A thing, he kind of glanced over something, but then Paul Feinbaum and company brought it back up. Now, what it was Saban started talking about how he just got to get more focused. He wasn't happy. He said the team lost focus at the end going into the playoffs and the championship. And then
Feiny. Do we have the cut from Feiny?
Well, we do. I'm just kind of setting it up first.
Well, no, you're right.
He said there was lack of discipline at the end of the season and distractions.
He said personal outcome as opposed to team outcome.
All right, so that's kind of how he left it. Nobody followed up with it until after he got off the podium and then did his little sit-down with the SEC network. And Paul Feinbaum is the second question you'll hear. We'll pick it up from the beginning. But take a listen to who he's like. Kind of throwing under the bus on his staff. This is very interesting. This was earlier this morning, part of the SEC, and Nick Saban, as you listen to it here on 99.3 ESPN.
Nick Saban, the head coach with us here. A couple of years ago, you came in and you used the line, don't waste a failure. It's a beautiful line. I've used it at home dozens of times since then. Is it something that you have to say again? How has been the bounce back to this point?
Well, I think it's just, knowledge and experience of when you fail, you want to try to get it fixed. And I think if you're a competitor, nobody likes to lose. And we have some great competitors on our team, and they certainly responded the right way. But I think, people basically respond better when things go poorly than they do when things go well. All right, so when you win a lot, it's more challenging to get people to keep doing the things the way they need to do them, to the standard that they need to do them, so that they're creating the right habits so that you don't get exposed when you play somebody that's really good. And I think that kind of happened to us last year, and that's obviously my responsibility.
You mentioned distractions up there, and it just seems like internally there were a lot of things going on. Did you have a sense that maybe things weren't going well, everyone wasn't on the same page going into the game?
Well, I think when the season started, I think we were great. Right. And I've said this before, when we won the LSU game, it just seemed like people's own agendas started to become a little more important. And I think
was that coaching or players?
Coaching. Ooh. Right. And, you know, we had a lot of guys that were going to be head coaches different places. And it really takes a special person to stay focused on what they're doing now when they have a job someplace else that is awaiting them and the responsibilities and hiring staffs and all that kind of stuff. So I'm not being critical of those people. It's just very challenging. And we had a lot of that on our staff last year. And I think those relationships with players, you know, go a long way to keeping players where they need to be to do the things that they need to do to continue to prepare, practice the way they need to practice, so that they can continue to improve and get better. And we didn't do that very well at the end of the year last year.
So when you went out and you're trying to find all these new faces in the coaching staff, you go and find some familiar ones. And Steve Sarkisian, Sal Cenceri as well, who's tasked with coaching the outside linebackers. How has the familiarity with those guys coming back to the organization, how has that helped the players have a better understanding of what the message is supposed to be?
Well, I'm really pleased with the staff that we're able to attract. You know, a couple guys that have been there before, so it was an easy transition for them. We got a lot of new energy and new ideas from a lot of the new coaches that we have on offense and defense. But we have enough continuity with people that have been there that we're not changing systems. We're not turning it upside down for everybody in the building, like the players. Now, will we change and add things to make it better? Absolutely. But I think having those guys that understand what the program's all about is very, very helpful in transition to the new coaching staff. So, you know, you don't like to lose guys. Continuity is really important for players, but new energy, new enthusiasm, new ideas is also important for your staff.
One of my favorite stories with your program over the last few years has been the development, what happened with Josh Jacobs. From relative obscurity in Oklahoma, you find him and you bring him in, and he ends up the first running back to go in the draft. Are there ways that you can utilize his story and his growth and his surge to incorporate that into the development growth of other players within your team?
I don't think there's any question about it. I think there's two guys on our team this year, Josh and Quentin Williams. Neither one were five-star guys. I don't think they had any stars coming out of high school. Both guys that we saw potential in, but those guys are the hardest working guys that we've ever had in the program. And, you know, every day they were trying to do something to improve. Both guys, you know, Josh gained a lot of weight, got bigger and stronger. So did Quentin Williams, got bigger and stronger. He was undersized, got to where he could play with.
All right, that was Nick Saban earlier this morning on with Paul Feinbaum and the rest of the crew at the SEC Network. But let's back up a little bit. Part of the interview where he's talking about the other coaches not being as focused.
I got some names to throw at you because I'm doing some research now as we're doing this to track it down.
Well, hey, before you do that, the first thing I thought of, remember, because we did a show on this for like a week, who was the coach that just took a job, cleared out his office, and left at Alabama, and Nick Saban didn't even know, and he has a meeting with the staff, and he says, "Where the hell is so and so?" And they're like, "Well, he took another job."
Because Tennessee hired former Alabama defensive backs coach Derek Ansley as its new defensive coordinator. I think
was it him?
I think it was him, if I remember
so
correctly.
Funny. Saban didn't even know.
And then they turned some heads, Tennessee did, because they hired former Georgia offensive coordinator Jim Chaney to the same position, which was kind of odd.
Yeah. Yeah. I tell you, he's tough to work for.
But you're looking at least from yesterday, you're looking at Kirby Smart, Jimbo Fisher, Jeremy Pruitt, all former assistants of the Saber. That's not what he's talking about.
No.
He's talking about guys
from last year,
like Derek Ansley, who now, as I said, is the new defensive coordinator at Tennessee with Jeremy Pruitt, who is another Saban disciple. Meanwhile, six assistants, remember, left the program in 2017, seven after last year, including both coordinators. So, again, you're trying to – and Coach Luke hired former Pac-12 head coaches Mike McIntyre and Rich Rodriguez to coordinate. I mean, they're going through –
yeah.
He's got to
go through this.
There's a lot of.
I'm trying to think. Nobody left for a head coach. Did he misspeak there? Nobody left for a head coaching job.
Six assistants left the program after 2017, and seven after last year. Both coordinators.
Yeah.
In both instances.
But he's referring specifically to the loss to Clemson this past year. Yep. And I just think he misspoke when he said guys were leaving for head coaching job. No, they were leaving for – some were leaving for lateral jobs.
Mm-hmm.
One didn't even bother to tell Nick.
Yep.
He just cleaned out his office and left. I think maybe that's something Nick might need to look inward a little bit. And how he – I mean
– And Georgia, too. I mean, Georgia replaced – Georgia offensive coordinator Jim Chaney was replaced has gone to Tennessee in the same position from Georgia as the OC. Georgia replaced Chaney and former defensive coordinator Mel Tucker, who is now the head coach of Colorado, by promoting from within, but Kirby Smart also downplayed the impact of those. So this kind of stuff happens all the time. It happens a lot more for Nick, obviously. And I'm sure it happens a lot more for the other successful programs around the country.
I made the point in the first hour. I mean, winning programs, whether it be the Patriots or whether it be Alabama, their coaching staffs are going to get picked.
People, Josh Gatt is another one. Went to Michigan.
That's right. That's right. But not as a head coach. But, yeah, he did. I was surprised when he said it, because when Feinbaum did the follow-up question, I fully expected him to say the players were the ones that weren't as focused, that were more focused on their NFL careers and whatnot. And he just came right out and said, no coaches. And you get the feeling every December and January that Nick Saban is very irritated with people on his staff that are being mentioned and bantered about for other jobs. That's part of the deal. And Nick Saban went through this himself. When he was with the Dolphins,
mm-hmm.
and decided to go to Alabama after he said, I'm not going to be the head coach at Alabama. But then the next day he was. So,
because coaches never lie.
Right. I think he'd have a little more sympathy, though, for people on his staff. And look, there's a right way to do it. And obviously Nick Saban expects his assistants to be there to the very end and then cut them loose. There are other you see it happen all the time. Sometimes guys leave right away. They don't hang around for the bowl mm-hmm. game. They got to go start recruiting. Early recruiting is in December now.
And
you can't hang around for the bowl game.
No, you can't. By the way, here's Saban's record versus ex-assistants since 2007.
16-0?
Alabama 41, Tennessee 10. 2011, Alabama 37, Tennessee 6. 2012, Alabama 44, Tennessee 13. Also in 2012, Alabama 31, Colorado State 6. 2015, Alabama 42, Florida 13. 2016, Alabama 54, Florida 16. Alabama 38, Florida 10. 2014, Alabama beat Florida 42-21, and they beat Michigan State 49-7. 2018, Alabama 38, Michigan State nothing. Jimbo Fisher is 0-2. Lost to Florida State 24-7. Lost last year at Texas A&M 45-23. Kirby Smart, 0-2. Lost to Alabama 2 years ago, 26-23 in overtime. Gave that game away, and even worse, gave that game away last year, which the fake punt game, which they lost 35-28 to Alabama. They should never lost that game. Jeremy Pruitt is 0-1, Alabama 58, Tennessee 21 last year. And also last year, Bill Napier, who was at Louisiana Lafayette, and Alabama waxed them 56-14.
Well, I do believe that, and Saban addressed that today as well. He said, look, these guys are leaving
an
awesome program, and they're going to a program that is firing a coach that was not awesome, and they need to do some rebuilding. And, of course, they're going to be at a huge disadvantage taking on Alabama for the first couple of years. And so, yeah, the assistants' records, it's 16. They're 0-16 against them so far. And that's just the way it goes. Now, you mentioned Kirby Smart. Georgia is at that level. We'll see if Jimbo can get A&M at that level. I don't know, but it'll happen. Probably Kirby Smart will be the first one to break that streak, I would think. He's the most equipped, has the best team, the best program.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, a bounce of a ball or a bad play call away. And maybe he did the bad play call because he was trying to outthink the master.
Maybe Tua just screwed up.
There's that.
Which he did a lot of, in that game. He did. I mean, is it okay to blame the player? I know they're kids. I'm not saying you wreck his career. He didn't have a good game.
Yeah.
Someone just called in and said there was one Alabama assistant that got a head coaching job, that Locklear at Maryland.
Oh, that's right.
Okay.
In fact, not only that, but he got a pretty good recruiting class. He did pretty well.
Consider where that Maryland program was going through the past couple of years. That's a win.
Yep.
All right. Very good.
What a win.
All right. Another good day.
Great day. Great stuff.
Tomorrow we'll focus a little more on the ACC and the Big Ten, and obviously the British Open will be going on when we walk in here tomorrow. I think what the coverage starts at 1 a.m. if you want to get up early.
Yeah, I think it's 1:30 on Golf Channel. Yeah. But by the way, the Falcons and Deion Jones have reached an agreement, linebacker, on a four-year, $57 million extension. 34 million guarantees.
All right, very good. Has the lightning stopped in our area? It's going to be safe for me to go to my car.
It's dissipating.
All right, we got another segment left.
Escort?
Yeah, I might.
Run, Craig, run!
We'll see what we can do. But first, we'll be right back with What You Got. That's next. Scheman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Time for those parting shots. It's What You Got with Scheman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN. Now, it's Scheman and Shepherd.
And What You Got is brought to you by Twin Peaks. Check out Twin Peaks. They got the Premier Boxing Champions, World Welterweight Championship. Manny Pacquiao taking on Thurman this weekend. Go check it out. All goes down at 10 p.m. All at Twin Peaks. All right, a couple of items I have for you here. First of all, happy birthday in 1949, Charlie Steiner, broadcaster, now with the Dodgers.
Steiner!
Ty Cobb died on this day in 1961. Greatest Detroit Tiger.
He was a tolerant man.
Huh?
He was a tolerant man.
I don't think he was. Unfact! Maybe. Possibly. I don't know, it was a long time ago. And follow-up to yesterday, of course, on this date in 1941, Joe DiMaggio's hitting streak ended at 51 games against, do you remember? Trivia?
It wasn't the Red Sox.
No.
It was Detroit.
No, it was the Indians, but you're close.
Okay.
The Cleveland Indians, hitting streak at 56 games, all by the wayside.
Tigers then got one hit last night.
Yeah. And no runs. 8-0.
Speaking of Cleveland,
it's beyond bad.
Yeah.
It is beyond down to the studs. I think they're going to get the top pick in the draft. I think they're going to be the worst. All right. Enough of that sunshine. Here's Pete Shepard. What you got?
Rick Church. I'm having a brain cramp. The Twins play that beautiful stadium.
Target Field?
Target Field.
Target.
Target Field. Wait till you see what Pete Alonso did earlier this afternoon. Oh, my God. I'm overemphasizing that. Hit an absolute moonshot off Twins reliever Matt Mangiel.
That means it's an Apollo 11 shot.
10 rows up in the triple deck, 475 feet. He took the first three pitches and absolutely unloaded. Mets went on to win 14-4, by the way. I tweeted it out. Gotta be the longest home run I've seen. Absolute moonshot where he hit that thing at Target Field today. You got to check it out.
That's an Apollo 11 shot this
week. It was an Apollo 11 shot. All right. Top of the eighth inning, by the way.
Sorry, it's against your Twins.
Yep.
All right, Rick Church and your beloved Twins, what you got?
Well, it's interesting you would say that because as a Minnesota Twins fan, I'm proud to say that Twins legend Frank Viola became the first manager to be ejected from a baseball game for arguing with a robot.
I saw this. Yes, this is hysterical.
If you haven't heard, the tiny Atlantic League has come into this agreement with Major League Baseball to test run a few kind of new innovations, one of which is like a radar they call a TrackMan that calls balls and strikes for the umpire. Now, the umpire has the option to overrule the TrackMan's call. So Frank Viola in the first game, first inning with the robot balls and strike calls came out and got upset with the umpire for not calling, not overruling the balls and strikes, and got tossed out of the game. Viola's the manager of the High Point Rockers in the Atlantic League.
And I love Frankie V. And I saw the pitch. The pitch was a little high. It was just above. It was a
really?
Little
Did
bit.
Did the computer make a mistake?
It was a little bit above the or just on the precipice above the letters. But not only did it come out, an F-bomb, and that's on Twitter too. He took his clipboard and chucked it.
Yeah. I did not know that Frank Viola was managing, but that's.
I don't know if he's managing or the pitching coach.
I think he's the manager.
He's the manager, yeah.
Wow. I didn't know that you could. I knew that rule was going on with that single A league. I didn't know you could overrule it.
Yeah, the umpires have the option to overrule the robot,
as they call
it.
Start screaming, F and do your job.
Yeah.
To who? The robot or the computer?
No, the umpire.
Okay, because I'm confused. You think that'll be the way of the future? Like 50 years from now.
Now, I like that. I mean, there's some other innovations that are kind of weird. In fact, one of them is the option to steal first
somebody
base.
Somebody did it.
Somebody did. Yeah. I didn't even know that was a rule.
But, no, we talked about it the last earlier.
I think it was when Craig was gone we talked about it.
Oh, that's right.
I saw the play.
That's right. Any pass ball, you can just go.
But the radar calling balls and strikes, I kind of like.
All right. Well, we'll see how this experimental league moves on. It's a single-A league. A lot of people have been calling for it. People say, well, take the human element out of the game. But, I mean, it seems to me that umpires miss a large – in fact, we had a study on this show. I can't remember what the number was. It was a double-digit figure of how many balls and strikes they miss in a game.
I'd like to see the whole behind-the-scenes setup of how it works with these robots. And exactly.
Seems to me you would have to have a perfect angle.
The sensor,
aren't they up high in
where,
the back?
Where the sensors are.
Where are they located? Are they off the outfield wall? Are they dialing in from back that far back?
No clue.
I think they are.
And it's supposed to be letters to the knees, exactly, and every player is different, obviously, in height.
How do you do that with a short person?
Oh, no, you just adjust.
Can a computer adjust?
Well, can a computer adjust in this day and age?
I don't know.
Come on.
I'm skeptical. All right, any play-by-play tonight? What we got going on?
Red Sox.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Sox at 6:10.
Yes.
Against the Jays.
All right, very good.
Got to win this one.
We'll be back tomorrow. So that'll do it for Rick Church, for Pete Shepard. I'm Craig Sheeman. Awesome as always. I will not get hit by lightning. And God bless America.
Very lunar man.